The Attractive Young Rabbi by Barry Grossman, with Tracy Ann Oberman as Rabbi Sue Jacobs and David De Keyser as Rabbi Abraham Fine.
Okay, Rabbi, I think that's all the business matters we need to discuss.
Good. Now we can concentrate on the real business of a synagogue holding a service.
Yes. Saturday tomorrow, back we come to chalk up another few Sabbath prayers on the celestial scoreboard.
I hope that's not why you come.
Oh, no, Rabbi, but sometimes it is hard not to watch the clock and count how many pages to go.
Think of every prayer as a prayer, Melvin, not a page number.
Wise words, as always. Oh, hang on. What's going on out there?
Where?
Well, outside, there's some bloke in a suit.
Ah, yes. What on earth's he doing?
Well, it looks like he's measuring something.
Yeah, I don't like the look of this.
And you don't know anything about it?
Not a thing.
Right. I'll go out and have a word with him.
You be careful, Melvin. It could be some troublemaker. I'll keep an eye on you from the window.
I'll soon find out what he's up to.
Oh, damn.
Hello? Can I help you?
Yes, thank you. You could hold the end of my tape measure against that wall. Just at the corner there.
Well, what on earth for?
Because it would help, that's what for.
Excuse me, this is private property. Yeah. It would help me if you could tell me who you are and what you think you're doing here.
My card.
Norman Biggins, Planning and Survey. Hillfield Town Council?
At your service.
What are you doing?
I'm measuring your synagogue.
Oh, ask a silly question. Any particular reason?
Certainly. Part of my remit is to ensure that no building encroaches on any duly designated public right-of-way. And I'm afraid, Mr...
Livingston, I'm chairman of the synagogue council.
I'm afraid, Mr. Livingston, my measurements confirm that your synagogue is precisely 86 millimetres too long.
Too long?
86 millimetres too long, precisely.
It's been here for 50 years or more.
Well, I'm afraid the council doesn't manage to give rights-of-way inspection the priority some of us would like. Nevertheless, the right-of-way is distinctly marked on the definitive map.
But how long is 86 millimetres in English?
In imperial measurement, Mr. Livingston, slightly under 4 inches.
Oh, well, 4 inches. Well, we can forget all about it, then.
We most certainly cannot forget all about it. 86 millimetres might not seem much to you, but the law is the law.
Well, so what are you going to do?
I shall be serving a statutory notice on you, Mr. Livingston.
What?
Requiring you to demolish the offending wall and rebuild it less than 86 millimetres in a northerly direction.
Well, for 4 inches, that will cost us a fortune.
A failure to comply with the notice would result in the council carrying out the work themselves, for which you would be liable to all charges incurred.
But,
you'll be hearing from us in a few days. Good day.
Melvin, has he gone? What did he want? Melvin, are you all right?
He said we've got to knock this wall down and rebuild it 4 inches further north.
Melvin, your attempts at irony are not always appreciated. Now come in and tell me what that man was doing.
So how are you, Mum?
Oh, not too bad for an old woman stuck on her own.
You are not old and you're not on your own.
I come round. You've got your friends.
Those that are left. Mrs. Sherman gone this week.
Oh, no, she's not dead.
No, moved into sheltered housing.
Oh, well, the cemetery's about as sheltered housing as you can get.
Oh, Sue. And Mrs. Blatt's not been well.
Oh, what's wrong with her?
She's never been the same since the television fell on her head.
Really?
Fractured her skull. Though on the credit side, she says she gets a lovely picture now on BBC Two.
Oh, well, it's an ill wind.
Go round and see her. You know she's always thought a lot of you. I'm sure it would cheer her up.
Okay.
And,
Wear something nice.
Why do I have to wear something particularly nice to go and see Mrs. Blatt?
Well, she likes to see girls well-dressed. She used to be in the fashion business.
Mum, she worked in the dry cleaners in the High Street. It's not exactly Calvin Klein.
Well, put on that nice blue dress and, a little bit of makeup.
Oh, in the makeup business as well, was she?
I just want you to look your best, dear. I'm sorry if that's so terrible.
Okay, I'll look fine, I promise.
I'll give her a call and tell her you'll be there this evening, then?
Yes, all right. Oh, and I'm not busy Tuesday evening, if you want to fill in what little free time I get.
Oh, well, you can come round here again. We can have a game of rummy.
Ugh.
So, let's look at this objectively, Melvin.
All right, so what are our choices?
Number one, we knock the wall down.
That's impossible. It's a supporting wall, Rabbi. You knock that down, the whole place would collapse. You need scaffolding, concrete support.
And what would that cost?
Oh, hundreds of thousands. Mm. And the insurers say that they're not liable because it was pre-existing. Mm. It's not happened since they wrote the policy.
And we can't afford it.
No way. We'd be bankrupt, Rabbi. Absolutely finished.
Okay, so option two. We don't knock the wall down. We fight it.
Well, I've checked with the solicitors. Everything, the law is on their side.
Aye. And they'd really drive us into the ground for 4 inches?
I'm afraid so. This Biggins is a new bloke. He's just moved here from Dalesbrook. He's a stickler, apparently.
I'll say.
I wonder if he had an ancestor in Jerusalem a couple of thousand years ago. It might explain what happened to the temple.
And now he's giving us our very own Wailing Wall. Don't they realize we're a house of worship?
Yeah, but they still have the right. It looks like Hillfield Town Council 1, God 0.
Well, in that case, God is going to have to change his tactics. I'm in his team, and it's time for me to have a go.
Rabbi, before you strip off your tracksuit, what have you got in mind?
I don't know, Melvin, but I must do something. That synagogue is my life. I'm not giving up without a fight.
It's hard to see what we can do.
I'll offer up a special prayer every Sabbath.
Well, might take a bit more than that. Look, we need something that will force them to pay attention. Come on, Rabbi, think of something really dramatic.
I'm thinking. Got it.
Yes, so? Yes, what is it?
Dramatic? Dramatic you want? Dramatic you'll get.
Morning, Brian.
Morning, Sue. I've got some membership figures.
Oh, when you get busy with that little calculator of yours, there's no stopping you, is there? Hit me with some edited highlights.
Membership ratio 96%. Male-female ratio 1.17 to 1. Adult-child ratio 3.66 to 1.
How about bum-to-seat ratio?
47.6%.
Oh, so we're less than half full.
I look on the bright side. Think of it as more than half empty.
How is that the bright side?
Well, how about less wear and tear on the furniture?
Not much consolation. How come you're so bright and breezy all of a sudden?
My favourite time of year coming up.
January is your favourite time of year?
End of Jan. Tax return deadline. Everyone rings me up chucking money at me to do their tax returns.
Oh, in spring a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of love. In January it turns to thoughts of Schedule C or whatever it's called.
Schedule D, actually. Yes. But since you mention it, the other isn't going too bad either. Simone and I are...
Star-crossed lovers?
Yeah, I might not go that far. But at least we're not samurai warriors.
Great. You're doing better than I am with my love life.
Oh?
My flipping mother says to me, go round and see Mrs. Blatt. She's not been very well. So round I go, doing my visiting the sick bit.
Oh, very noble.
Yeah, but first of all, there's nothing wrong with her.
Well, perhaps your visit cured her. Miracle cures. That would look good on your CV. You could go right to the top in this game.
Don't actually think I've got a CV, unless it stands for kosher Viennas.
And where does all this fit in with your love life, exactly?
Yeah, right, well, when I go and see Mrs. Blatt, that drippy son of hers is there. Only asks me out to dinner, doesn't he?
Oh, so you're in there, then.
With Bernard Blatt, still living with his mummy at 32.
Oh, one of that sort.
I think if he's good, she'll give him his own key next year.
So, are you going out with him?
I didn't have much choice with his ruddy mother sitting there egging him on. Now, weren't you going to ask Sue something, Bernard? Oh, it's a nightmare.
Oh, well, you can always take him to see the Orthodox place. Have one last look at it before they pull it down.
I know, it's awful.
Bit of a shame, I suppose.
Well, I know they're the opposition, but it's still a synagogue. It's not right.
I was talking to Melvin. He says he and Rabbi Fine are going to fight it, but once these decisions have been made...
Oh, well, nothing we can do about it.
No. Right, I must be getting along. Enjoy your heavy day.
Bernard Blatt, Bernard Blatt, Bernard Blatt in his mummy's flesh.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
I've never heard such nonsense. Who do you think you are, Mahatma Gandhi?
If this is what it takes to make them see sense, then this is what I must do.
But how's a hunger strike going to help?
It'll draw attention to our cause. As long as Melvin gets the newspaper people here, television, radio, the council will have to cave in. An old man starving himself to death.
To death?
It won't come to that.
Where you get these silly ideas from, I don't know.
Well, what would you do? Stand there and watch them demolish the synagogue?
You won't be in a fit state to stand anywhere if you don't eat.
Sadie, I have to go through with this. I must. This is about my pride, my integrity. If I can't save the synagogue, I might as well not be the rabbi at all.
Abraham. Abraham, your dinner's ready.
What?
Are you ready for dinner?
Dinner? You know I can't have dinner.
Well, I've made it.
I'm supposed to be on hunger strike.
Well, you've been on hunger strike for 8 hours now, and not a soul except me has noticed. You must eat.
But I can't. Oh, it smells good.
Mm. A nice plate of soup, then chicken and potato kugel.
But I'm on hunger strike.
Hunger strike, nothing. Have the soup at least. You're taking water. Soup's only hot water, flavored. Or are you just going to sit there rumbling your stomach at me?
I'm a little soup, then.
Mazel tov. Sit down at the table and I'll go and serve.
Oh, now.
Evening, Mrs. Fine, may we come in?
Well,
I've brought the media this way, ladies and gentlemen, this way.
Been a mistake.
How's the rabbi? He's not starving, I hope.
Look, Melvin, I have to explain.
Now, come on, this way. So here he is, ladies and gentlemen. He's a martyr to his cause. Here we are, Rabbi Fine.
Now, this chicken is delicious.
But he's eating chicken! Nice piece of fish.
It doesn't look too bad.
The salmon is fine, thank you, Bernard. How's your baked bean cheeseburger?
Not bad.
I always have this in here.
You do surprise me.
So, what's it like being a rabbi?
Well, it's what I want to do. I count myself very privileged.
But doesn't it get boring? I mean, do you really go to the synagogue every Saturday?
Of course. And every Sunday. And during the week.
During the week?
I never knew you could do that.
Well, you go and watch Watford every Saturday. Doesn't that get boring?
No. That's football. Anyway, it's not every Saturday. There's a closed season.
Well, God doesn't have a closed season, and she doesn't get relegated.
Hmm.
So, what did you do again?
I'm a clerk for the council.
And doesn't that get boring?
Oh, God, yes. But if I stick it for a while, pass my exams, I could make executive officer. That's much more interesting. Hardly boring at all sometimes, apparently.
Oh, well, good luck with them. 7th or 10th, did your mother say?
6.
Oh, sorry. Well, I suppose the desserts look quite nice. Shall we order? Oh, excuse me. Hello. Oh, hi, Brian. No, I'm not doing anything. Yeah, I've got it at home. But I haven't read it yet. Rabbi Fine? Oh, that I must see. Okay, I'll speak to you tomorrow. Yeah, bye. Bernard, can we skip dessert?
What? Oh, quite offensive one, actually.
Actually, I'm in a bit of a hurry to get home.
Coffee?
Look, let's just pay the bill and go, shall we? I'll make coffee later.
Oh, right. Your place it is, then. I'll get the bill.
Yes, excuse me. Could we... over here...
Bill, please.
Certainly, madam.
Thanks.
Right, go on through. Have a seat somewhere.
Okay. Ooh, nice place you've got here.
Yeah, we'll be a minute.
Sorry.
I'll sit down here, shall I?
What? Oh, yeah. Right, let's see. Here it is. The rabbi, supposedly on hunger strike, was found to be tucking into roast chicken with all the trimmings. Look at the photo of him chomping away.
Where?
Here, look.
Oh, yeah.
Rabbi Fine? He said he was going on hunger strike till the council agreed not to knock the wall of his synagogue down.
Bring it a bit closer. Sit here and we'll read it together.
All right. Rabbi Fine claimed he'd been forced to give up his fast on doctor's orders. Mm. He also... Stop it.
Oh, come on.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Oh, Sue, go on.
No.
Oh, you're not telling me you were in a hurry to get back just to read some old newspaper.
That is exactly why I was in a hurry to get back, thank you. You didn't think it was because I... Oh, my God.
Oh, charming. Anyway, I don't want to spend my evenings talking about council demolition orders. I get enough of that at work all day.
Oh?
Yeah, it's my department, isn't it? Planning. I'm assistant clerk to the chief clerk to the head of planning.
Oh, so you know all about the synagogue business then?
Pretty much. Enough to know that if Norman Ruddy Biggins wants something to go through, it'll go through.
He's the one causing all the trouble, is he?
Ruddy Crook.
Crook? How come?
Well, I shouldn't really say.
Oh, come on, Bernard. Hmm? You do me a favour and maybe I'll do you one.
Oh, well, you know, usual things. A bribe here, a bit of back scratching there.
Oh, where's here and where's there?
Well, Hillcrest Court, new block of flats over in Dalesbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Never have been built if a developer hadn't, well, let's say, given Norman Biggins a little Christmas present.
Really? What sort of Christmas present?
A drinkable one.
Mm. Well, that's normal enough. Oh, it could be quite innocent.
12 bottles of Chateau Neuf du Pape 1978.
Wow. I'll turn goy for Christmas presents like that. What else has he been up to?
Well, look, I really shouldn't.
Oh, Bernard. Hmm? Bernard. Bernard. I thought we had an understanding. You do trust me, don't you?
Yes. Well, you know Dalesbrook Golf Club? Well, that broke every planning guideline in the book.
Abraham, you cannot do this. It's madness. Utter madness.
I must. There's nothing else left.
Not Rabbi Fine, please. Heaven knows what could happen to you.
They won't harm an old man. They daren't risk it.
Well, maybe. But chaining yourself to the railing...
I'll do it, I tell you. When the first bulldozer arrives, I will be attached to that synagogue with a padlock and chain.
It's crazy. The man's gone completely plum crazy.
They want to move me. They'll have to get the police to carry me away.
Oh. That's it. I've had enough. 48 years I've had of this, Monsieur Gus, but this is the end. I put up with most things from you, Abraham Fine, but if you want to get yourself knocked into the ground by a demolition crew, you are on your own.
So be it.
Melvin, talk some sense into him.
Look, Rabbi, what if it's cold? Huh? You'll catch your death.
I'll take my chances.
Oh. What about going to the,
There are ways and means of doing these things.
I'll bring you a child's potty, if you like.
Maybe.
In fact, the way you are some nights, you'd be better off padlocking yourself to the potty rather than the synagogue.
Yes, thank you, Sadie. You're not being terribly helpful.
I'm not being terribly helpful. He's the one who's doing the craziest thing since Adam and Eve ate the wrong apple, and I'm not being terribly helpful.
No. Look, seriously, though, Rabbi, what if they call your bluff? What if they just leave you there? Are you really going to stick it out for a night, for two nights, maybe more?
With God's help, I'll stick it out for a year. Oh. His sky shall be my roof, his stars my nightlight.
Yeah, his snow and gale-force winds the cause of your pneumonia.
If necessary.
Oh, look, I've got to get back to the factory. I've got a customer coming, but please, Rabbi, promise me you'll think again about this.
My mind is made up, Melvin.
Well, they're forecasting rain, they said, and heavy in some areas, they said.
Yes, I'll take an umbrella.
I'll bring your armchair and the footstool as well. Make yourself comfortable.
Now, you're being ridiculous. Mind you, I'll take my cushion. You know, the one for my little problem.
Come in, Brian.
Morning, dear.
Mum, what are you doing here?
Oh, I was just passing. I've never seen your office. Bit small, isn't it?
Compact, yes.
Well, I'm glad I caught you. You don't mind if I sit down, do you? You're not busy, are you?
No, I'm just about to go out for a picnic.
Of course I'm busy. I just wanted to tell you Mrs. Blatt's not been well again.
Oh, dear. What fell on her head this time? Microwave? Wardrobe? The Eiffel Tower?
You're not being very sympathetic for someone who's supposed to be in your position.
Mum, firstly, I'm not supposed to be in my position. I am in my position. And secondly, you know as well as I do, there's nothing wrong with Mrs. Blatt.
Didn't you like Bernard?
No, I did not.
But you're a rabbi. You're supposed to like everybody.
Well, I didn't like him in the sense you mean. And I'm quite capable of living my own life and making my own decisions about who I go out with.
If you try and help your own daughter.
Yes, what I realise you're only doing what you think is for the best. But I really wish that some...
Sorry. Hello, Mrs. Jacobs.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Yes, fine, thanks. Yourself?
Well, my arthritis plays me up and my back hurts and one or two other things you don't need to know about, but I mustn't grumble.
Good.
Didn't you have a younger brother, Brian? Yeah? Is he married?
I haven't got a brother.
Cousin, was it?
Mum.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'll be off. I'm sure you two have got important business to discuss. Much more important than talking to your mother.
Look, I didn't mean...
No, please. It's all right. By the way, Mrs. Glickman's not been very well.
Oh, I'll send her a get-well card.
She hasn't got any sons. She's had a heart bypass.
Oh.
Bye, dear. Bye, Brian.
Bye. Did I arrive at the wrong moment?
No, you arrived at a very good moment. Probably saved me from strangling her.
You never told me how your date with lover boy Bernard went.
That man has all the social skills of a randy mongrel at Croft.
Oh, that good, eh?
Only useful thing turned out to be that he works for the council planning department. Knows a bit about this business at the Orthodox place.
Oh, right.
I managed to get a bit of information out of our Bernard about that.
Oh, did you now?
Oh, mind you, it wasn't easy. I had to blow in his ear a bit. Even had to suffer a slobbery kiss or two.
You are the world's first rabbi provocateur.
Anyway, it seems that our Mr. Biggins has been a bit of a naughty boy once or twice. So I've arranged a little meeting with him.
You know, you're wasted as a rabbi. You could be doing something really worthwhile.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you know what I mean. But why go to so much trouble to help Rabbi Fine?
Well, when the chips are down, if a Jew can't count on another Jew, who can they count on?
True.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Is that the Daily Mail?
Yes.
I'm supposed to be meeting someone in here, someone in a blue coat with a copy of the Daily Mail.
Ah, yes, and you must be dark suit, red Mickey Mouse tie.
That's right.
Good evening, Mr. Biggins.
Good evening, Ms...
Oh, my name's not important.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not staying if I don't know who you are.
Later, maybe, but I do have some very interesting information for you. Please, sit down.
All right.
A glass of wine. I took the liberty of ordering.
Oh, thank you.
It's not quite Chateau Neuf de Pape, but it's quite interesting.
So, this, information. Something which might be to my advantage, I believe you said on the phone.
Yes.
I don't suppose a long-lost uncle's died and left me his fortune or anything?
Not quite, I'm afraid. You were at Dalesbrook before you came to Hillfield, weren't you?
Yes, why?
I believe you have some involvement with a new golf club.
Oh, they did recently make me a member.
Oh, did they?
But what's that got to do with anything?
Well, I believe you took quite an interest in the acquisition and development of the land and the clubhouse.
Yes?
And there wasn't much trouble in getting planning permission.
Well, I don't know.
I understand that one or two regulations were, shall we say, bent a little.
Well, if you're suggesting...
I'm suggesting it was all down to you, Mr. Biggins.
What?
And that you were rather well rewarded for your pains.
Who told you all this?
Oh, I have it on very good authority. The best.
What authority?
Not so loud, Mr. Biggins. We don't want the whole world to know, do we?
What authority?
Same one that told me a few things about Hillcrest Court.
What about Hillcrest Court?
Should never really have been built, should it, Mr. Biggins? Block of flats that height in such a built-up area. Wasn't a bad Christmas for you that year, though, was it?
Who are you? And what do you want? You must want something.
Well, yes, there is something.
What?
Hillfield Synagogue.
What about it?
Forget about it. Lose it in the filing system somewhere.
Oh, impossible. Once the process has started...
Extension to the pig and whistle? Another tricky planning application you smoothed on its way, I believe?
Oh, Hillfield Synagogue.
Yes.
Well, now I come to think of it, I was just going to waive that particular case. A few millimetres here or there, what difference can it make? I'll cancel it first thing tomorrow morning.
Oh, good. Well, it's been a great pleasure doing business with you, Mr. Biggins.
And with you, Miss...
Oh, and you haven't even touched your wine. See? You can turn down a present if you try. Bye-bye.
Have another glass of sherry, my dear.
Oh, Abraham, you'll be getting me tipsy.
Nonsense, we're celebrating. Melvin, a little more whiskey.
Oh, no, no, really, I shouldn't.
Come on.
Oh, all right, just a small one.
Right, a toast to a great day in the history of Hillfield Orthodox Synagogue. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
I knew that special prayer I made last week would have an effect. I could feel it deep down. That and my threat to chain myself to the railings, that obviously shook them up a bit.
Well, something obviously did the trick.
They certainly changed their minds pretty quickly.
You see, Melvin, with the greatest respect, going to talk to people at the council doesn't get you anywhere.
It doesn't look like it.
I mean, if this had happened to that reform lot, they wouldn't have stood a chance. They'd have written letters of complaint and organized protest meetings, and then the council would have come along and reduced their place to rubble. Please God.
Oh, I don't know. She can also be quite resourceful.
Oh, what does she know? Direct action. That's the way to fight these people. That's what half-baked youngsters like her don't understand. Direct action.
That was part two of The Attractive Young Rabbi by Barry Grossman, with Tracy Ann Oberman as Rabbi Sue Jacobs, David De Keyser as Rabbi Abraham Fine, and Doreen Mantle as Sadie Fine. Henry Goodman was Melvin, and Jonathan Kidd, Brian. Sheila Stiefel featured as Sue's mum, Jeffrey Whitehead as Mr. Biggins, and Simon Schatzberger as Bernard Blatt. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme music was written by Max Harris, and the program produced by John Fawcett Wilson.